Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
After a long summer break, Formula One is back this weekend, and it's no less than the mighty Spa-Francorchamps circuit that welcomes us back. Hello and welcome back to the Grid Talk podcast, everybody. This is episode number 223, where we're going to be previewing the 2022 Belgian Grand Prix. I'm your host, George Howson, and joining me today we have Phil Matthew from the Grip Strip podcast.
Hello.
Carl King from the Monkey Seat podcast.
Hello.
And Grid Talk co-host, Owain Medford.
Hello.
So, lads, let's get into the preview. Obviously, we've had 4 weeks off of Formula One, but we're back this weekend for Spa. And I think, Carl, it's very safe to say on current form and current strategy form and everything that Max Verstappen's going to make it two wins in a row at the Belgian Grand Prix. But hopefully this year, we actually get some racing.
Well, that's the thing. Are we even going to get racing? Just looking at the weather forecast at the moment, it looks like it's rained. So, you know, Max Verstappen could do it, even if we get a pole on it. If he gets the pole, then he'll definitely do it, I think, whatever happens. But then it is a wet race, so probably Latifi getting high points. So, you know, who the hell knows? But Max is, he's got it wrapped up, I think, now. I don't think there's anyone else that's going to get the win, get the championship. I think he's got it wrapped up. And I think it's going to be another, you know, start to finish, lights to finish podium for him, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very hard to see someone else winning the race, really. I mean, Verstappen at Hungary was just unreal. I mean, he obviously had the disappointment in qualifying, but he just powered through to win it. I mean, if Ferrari were going to catch Red Bull, it would have been for a race like that. They were in a prime position to do it, but as we've seen so often this season, they messed it up no end. And all that
they
means
put six
that,
on.
Yeah, and all that means that I've only just noticed this myself. The championship gaps are a whopping 80 points between Verstappen and Leclerc, which is just, I've had to read that a few times just to believe it. That is a mammoth gap. But yeah, let's talk about Ferrari though next. I mean, Phil, how do you see them getting on this weekend? Because all through this season, Red Bull have had a bit of a straight line advantage over them. It's very much a power track around Spa, but Charles Leclerc, If Ferrari don't mess up the strategy, he has been incredibly quick at times. He himself has done a great job this season, but it's just his team that's letting down so often. So how do you see him and Sainz getting on this weekend?
Well, if they can get out of their own way, and if they don't have mechanical issues with their power unit, or they don't have a bad pit stop, or they don't have bad strategy, or Charles Leclerc or Carlos Sainz don't crash, which seemingly all those things have happened this year, they can win because they have. The notion that they can't compete, I think that we know the Red Bull is the best car and Verstappen's going to win the world championship. That's fine. We get that. But the Ferrari has a bigger problem now in that the team behind them is closer to them than they have been all year. And they're on an upswing and they've had good pace in qualifying all year. So if depending on conditions for qualifying, they can at least compete there. And at Spa, it's not as track position centric as other circuits, of course, with all the DRS zones and the like. If they can have a clean performance or as clean of a performance that you can really expect from Ferrari, they have a good chance to at least get one podium spot, if not two podium spots on Sunday. But it's going to take, you know, all this nonsense that they've been doing for the first 13 races of the season, a lot of the bad that they've done, which is the reason why Charles Leclerc is 80 points behind Verstappen. They have to get out of that now. You have three races in a row here in European racetracks, big racetracks, legendary tracks in that matter to Ferrari, of course, especially with Spa and Monza bookending it. And you need to get some good points out of this group of races before we go to that next set of races. And it would be nice to see them do that. Do I really expect that? I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I have more expectations for who's behind them than I have for the Ferrari team at this point.
Yeah, Ferrari have on a number of occasions made very average results out of great qualifying results or great situations that seemingly found themselves in, but somehow keep messing it up. It's just a joke. I can't believe it keeps happening to them. They don't learn from the mistakes at all. And someone on the show, I can't remember who it was, but someone on the show said Mercedes are the anti-Ferrari and that they keep making great results or good results out of not so great positions. And like Phil pointed out there, Owain, the gap between Ferrari and Mercedes in the Constructors' Championship is only 30 points. Mercedes are on a massive upwards trend, but could Spa prove to not be that great of a circuit for them? Because they have struggled around power tracks. And if they're going to get porpoising again, it's going to be somewhere like the Kemmel Straight where you're uphill, it's kind of bumpy, and it's a very long straight. So how do you see Sir Lewis Hamilton and George Russell getting on this weekend?
I don't think it's going to be that bad, to be honest. I don't think they're going to have the outright pace in qualifying. I think, you know, I think it depends what they bring to the track. And honestly, I think they say that they've got the porpoising fixed. I'm fairly confident they have done. I think the biggest thing is what happens when you take the downforce off the car. Obviously, like Spa's a low downforce track. I think it's also going to be an issue for Ferrari as well. Like where, you know, we expect Red Bull to be far and away the best, at least because they're in a straight line. But it depends, I think, on where sort of that balance of power moves towards you or away from you when you're taking downforce off the car. In some ways, Spa's a good sort of track for a car that excels at high speed. But like you say, we've not entirely seen that when it comes to the Mercedes. So it could be a bit of a difficult weekend. But the team is so... And it's one of those things where you almost expect now Mercedes going into a weekend to make the best of, even if they don't have a great weekend, they'll make the best of it and they'll find a way to get something out of it. And it is only 30 points. You know, there could be anything that happens up front. Obviously, the opportunity for more overtakes invites the sort of opportunity for more incidents. And Mercedes seems to sort of be quite good at staying out of them, at least. They're pretty close to overtake, like Lewis Hamilton's pretty close to overtaking Carlos Sainz. And I think honestly that you know, the biggest thing in Mercedes' favour is that they've got reliability in spades, it seems like. So as much as I think it could be a little bit more challenging when it comes to the actual speed of the car, you know, the other factors around it lead me to believe it could be quite a strong weekend for them.
It's definitely possible. I mean, the team with the momentum behind them, I mean, they've had two double podiums in the last two races. George Russell, of course, getting his pole position around Hungary as well, which blew us all away, quite frankly. They don't quite have the top pace in terms of the race, but they finish every single time. They've not had a mechanical failure this season, I don't think. The only time someone's not finished was when Russell went out of the car in a Silverstone to check on Joe. I mean, he probably would have finished the race if it wasn't for checking on his fellow driver like that, which is very admirable, of course. So yeah, I want to give a mention to Sergio Perez next, though, because I kind of skipped past him when we talked about Red Bull just then, Carl. He's fallen off the boil a little bit in recent races, but he still finds himself in third place in the Drivers' Championship and only a couple points behind Charles Leclerc, but... Is this going to be a very important race for him because Red Bull are going to want him to be a bit closer to Verstappen, or is Verstappen just that good that they're not expecting him to be close anyway?
I mean, it's very much like the old Hamilton Bottas days. He's always going to be behind no matter what happens. Let's be honest, he has gone off the boil. I don't know what's going on or whether he was ever really on the boil and everyone else hadn't caught up yet. And the Red Bull was just pulling him forward to be this, you know, the drive that he's had the beginning points of the season. He is slowed down a bit. I think this is a hugely important race for him. It's a track that he should be good at. And it's a car that should work quite nicely around Spa. So I can't see as to why there would be any difference on that one. Obviously, he didn't do that well last season, but at this track, I'm trying to find where he was, even if he was in it. Yeah, he was 19th.
He spun off, didn't he?
Yeah. He's one of the many ones that spun off, ended up in 19th. So, look, yeah, I don't quite know how he's going to do. I still like Perez. I still think he's a great driver. I still think he's in the right seat. I think Red Bull would be silly to ever think about moving him from that seat. He's a great support act to Verstappen, but and I don't know whether he's resigned to the fact that he's never going to win the championship and he is that second-class driver. But it's, you know, Red Bull should do everything in their power to keep him because he is a solid driver. And I don't think there's anyone else on that track that would sit nicely in that position at the moment.
No, it's a very uncomfortable seat next to Max Verstappen, as we've seen from the likes of Alex Albon and Pierre Gasly. And even Daniel Ricciardo to an extent as well. You know, he's a hell of a driver. And yeah, I agree, you know. And Kvyat, yeah, there's a list, isn't there? There's a real shopping list of teammates that Verstappen is beat or just forced out of the team for whatever tactics he needed to do. So, yeah, I mean, Perez is a great driver, of course. You know, they don't want to go moving him on, especially while both AlphaTauri drivers are not really performing that well, to be honest, this season. But we'll get onto them shortly. First, we'll talk about the best of the rest team, Alpine, finding themselves in fourth position, the Constructors' Championship. And seemingly, Phil, they're pulling out a bit of a gap between themselves and McLaren in that battle for best of the rest. But how do you see them getting on this weekend? Because Spa, weirdly, is one of Alonso's worst tracks. He's never won round here, despite how many wins he's had in Formula One. And Esteban Ocon as well. He's done pretty well here over the years. So how do you see them getting on this weekend?
I think with Alpine being a few points ahead of McLaren, trying to just maximize their position there, this next three race stretch, I lean towards the next two races after this being more suited towards the Alpine team. I think McLaren would have a better chance in this spot at Spa. But, you know, Alonso's had a few weeks off. He was at the MotoGP. He got to go and watch his buddy Aleix Espargaró run at the Austrian Grand Prix. So he's got to relax, follow up his plan. And maybe his plan to finish out the rest of this year is to actually do some good work for the Enstone team to finish out his third stint with them, hopefully. That's what they're hoping, to get fourth in the Constructors. Ocon has been, you know, Ocon. We were talking about it, Tom and I, yesterday, and everybody here is, of course, a bit, if you want to do an uncensored thing, we'll do it again. We'll talk about it offline. But it was a good, fun show. Went off on Fernando Alonso for a little while. But Ocon has been really, I guess, what he is, always been, you know, very inconsistent. He'll have his good days. He'll have his good moments, show a lot of pace. But then there'll be other times where you're like, what happened to him? So you have to balance those things out. You have the other Ferrari-powered teams behind that can also have a chance to get into Q3. That could also adjust and affect their strategy. The weather will also play a role, because it always does at Spa. The reality of the world, though, is double points finish for Alpine is their goal, and that's what they're looking for. And in all likelihood, with, you know, all things considered, they should be able to do that. Now, there are obviously extenuating circumstances that could play into that. Alonso has had his qualifying's kind of been on and off. He's had those great qualifying runs, like he had at Canada, getting on the front row. But then he can also be out of Q2 as well. So we'll see what happens. I think practice coming back from this break and the qualifying will kind of give us a little window about what they're looking at here over these next 3 weeks. I find these next 3 weeks to be the defining factor for the season itself. We already know who's a world champion, likely the Constructors' Championship, but there are a lot of players and a lot of things in play here that can be determined at these circuits before we get off to Singapore and some of the other flyaway races. And I think this is a big time for all these teams. And Alpine needs to go and set the table against McLaren here with the turmoil they're going through right now with their driver situation. And, of course, Alpine has their turmoil going on too. But try to go and take the better car, per se, and take advantage of that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I mean, you mentioned the weather there. I just had a look at the forecast myself. Obviously, it's Spa. Anybody who's been to Spa knows how unpredictable and inaccurate this weather forecast can be at times, but it does say a lot of rain, thunderstorms on the Saturday for qualifying, on the race, scattered showers. So there's definite potential for some wet weather running at some point during this weekend. Let's just hope it's not like last year's where it's where we obviously didn't get a race at all. Yeah, because we don't want the people who actually go to the track to suffer that 2 years in a row. That'd be a real travesty for the sport. I have to mention as well that we do want to keep Spa as well. There's all these rumours about Spa going off the calendar in the future, about this being the last year for it. And I think that would be an absolute tragedy. I really would do for Formula One. It's one of its one of its most challenging, most awesome tracks. I absolutely love it to bits, and I do not want to see it go. I think it'd be horrible for the sport if that happens. So let's hope we see it on the calendar again next year. But yeah, let's move on to McLaren, the team in fifth in the Constructors' Championship. Just 4 points, to be fair, between themselves and Alpine. So they're keeping in that battle. But Owain, like we keep saying, sound like a broken record. Lando Norris is getting the most out of the car. Daniel Ricciardo, for the most part, really isn't. For whatever reason, it's just not working out for him. He got 2 points finishes in a row between Austria and France, but just nowhere in Hungary again. So how do you see him getting on this weekend? Because it is a circuit he has won around in the past.
Yeah, he has. I can't remember exactly when, unfortunately, so I can't speak too much about how...
2014.
That is a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
At this point, that is a long while. The thing for me about McLaren is, you know, Lando Norris is doing a great job, 100%, but it's sort of a tale of two cities because, you know, not 2 meters away on the other side of the garage, probably a bit more. You know, Daniel Ricciardo, he's almost dead weight. It's really holding them back. I mean, the writing's on the wall for where he's going next year, but I almost think it's worth a buyout clause. So, and as much as Ocon may be inconsistent, I kind of feel like he's less inconsistent than, well, actually, no, I mean, you know what, the stats speak for themselves. Ocon's got three times the points of Ricciardo, and then you've got Alonso's only got double, but you're getting Alonso. So it's one of those things. I think Alpine, particularly with the strength of form that they've had in recent races, I can't see McLaren, unless they have a blinding weekend, getting anywhere close to overcoming, you know, like to getting back into fourth place in the constructors by the end of this weekend. I honestly think it's a real uphill battle for them. Maybe the summer break has revitalized Ricciardo, and he thinks, you know what, I need to show that I am worth having, because we still haven't had that announcement about Piastri. So show that I'm worth having and really put in some massive performances, which he hasn't obviously had a chance to do. Well, with Fernando Alonso's announcement coming right into the summer break, so it's I think it's one of those things where it's he really needs to, if he wants to stay in that team, and he needs to buck his ideas up. But other than that, I think McLaren is going to go backwards.
I think one of the two cars is definitely going to go backwards. Lando Norris is absolutely doing his best to get the most out of that car, and he's doing an excellent job, in my opinion. It's just that McLaren need, we've said it a few times, they're fighting with one hand tied behind the back, you know, and it's just not fair for them. Norris can get seventh, but if Alonso and Ocon get like a sixth and an eighth or something like that, then it's just, you know, it's not going to work. They're going to lose points overall. And you could argue, I'm glad you mentioned that, Owain, you could argue that the biggest battle between Alpine and McLaren right now is off the track and in the courtroom, because we're going to see what happens between them and Piastri. And we don't know what's gone off, obviously, but it seems like McLaren may get Piastri. And obviously, if McLaren do that, then Ricciardo's out the door. And where's he going to go? Maybe Alpine, who knows? But maybe he might. Maybe they might not want him after the way he's been performing recently. And you can understand why, because he come with a big salary as well. So we'll see what happens with McLaren. I'm hoping they'll do well. Norris put in a hell of a lap in qualifying last year, but obviously had a horrific accident as well in that qualifying session. So if he can keep the pace and keep the car on the track, could see a good result for them. Let's go to Alfa Romeo next, Carl. Probably the most improved team this season, I'd say, overall. But recently, they've not been doing too well. They've had four races in a row without scoring points, and Haas are bearing down on them quickly. So how do you see them getting on this weekend? Because Joe's been picking up more pace, but Bottas, if anything's maybe gone a little bit further back with the car. So how do you see them getting on?
I really want Joe to do well. I really do. But he's so far behind. I just thought I'd look at the points. Oh my God. Like, you're talking about Ricciardo being, you know, Norris being three times as many points. I mean, we're talking 10, 12 times as many points between Joe and Bottas. I mean, this car could do well. It is up to Ferrari's engine as to whether it decides to play ball, I feel, half the time with. They are a really interesting team. I think Bottas will hold himself up this time. And I think Joe has the promise to do well. And I really want him to do it. I think he will. He's definitely got more, how do I call this? More pizzazz, for want of a better word, than some of the other teams. The other drivers that are on there. And I think it is a good pairing. I think Joe has a lot to learn off Bottas, and Bottas has a lot to teach Joe, but I think it's a really interesting team. I think how will they do this weekend? I think they'll be in the points, just one of them will, but it's a flip of the coin as to who or what at the moment, and it will only be just if they ever get there.
Yeah, very true. Very true. The car seems to have gone off a bit recently. Yeah, a very promising start to the season, but it's not going too great at the moment. And the gap between Alfa Romeo and passing the Constructors' Championship, it's a decent one, to be fair, 17 points. But it was looking for a bit, Phil, as though Haas were really going to overtake Alfa Romeo really soon. And that was after a pretty dismal mid part of the first half of the season. It's kind of described, obviously. Magnussen did really well in the opening race, but for a while after that, there wasn't really anything to bring, shout about. But how do you see them getting on this weekend? Because, Bahrain's a power track. They did really well there. Spa's obviously a power track too. Kevin Magnussen's got a lot of experience. And Mick Schumacher looks like a new driver ever since he scored his first points.
I think the freedom is there for them, George, in terms of they're kind of playing with house money, considering how bad it was last year. We've waxed about it on this show plenty of times, but they're in a position with a team that they were behind last year where they could pass them, be in possibility of sixth, in constructors, which you wouldn't have thought was possible this time last year. They do have the upgrades for both cars coming for this race. There are only upgrades, of course, that they're going to have this year. So maybe that helps them. But I am, the one concern I do have is based on what other teams have had this year with some of the upgrades they've had, have not exactly worked out so well. That's my only concern for Haas, but it is a power track. Haas, like the Alfa Sauber team, is very good on these fast, long, straightaway type racetracks. I do feel like Kevin Magnussen, he's been on a little bit of a downtrend. I think he wants to get back up, right on the edge of points like he had been earlier in the season, getting those decent finishes. Mick has the energy, as you said, and this is a circuit I think that suits him. Of course, it suited his father very well too, but I think it's one where he can go and really put his best foot forward, and I wouldn't be surprised if Haas was up there in the front half, in the top half of the field this weekend, fighting for some good points. I think that's the kind of racetrack where they have to maximize, because there are other circuits that they're definitely not as strong at.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity for them at the end of the day. They just need to, not necessarily get a decent qualifying result, but obviously have some good pace in the race. And I do find it fascinating, like you said, about how Haas have not upgraded the car at all until just now this year. I think that's amazing. It really speaks to the fact that you don't have to just pump money into a team and just hope that it works. They've really maximized the package. They really understand it. And I hope these new upgrades for them do the job, because they think they can absolutely overtake Alfa Romeo into sixth. And that'd be a huge upturn from last year. It really would be. But let's talk about the team behind them next. And surprisingly, it's AlphaTauri, Owen. I mean, the car is just dropped off a cliff, and the drivers don't really seem able to get a decent result out of it. It's been five races in a row that they haven't scored any points, which for a team like them, with how good they've done in recent times, I mean, they won a race 2 years ago, with how well they've done at times, it's a huge downturn in fortunes. How do you see them getting on? Because it's... While Tsunoda has improved a lot this season, it does seem that Gasly has gone the other way, if anything. So it's the star driver's not really been performing.
Yeah, I mean, the positive for Tsunoda is that it seemed to be approaching the same level of performance. Unfortunately, that's not in the way that AlphaTauri would have hoped. Yeah, I don't really know. I think they've been struck by quite a lot of reliability issues, which is weird, bearing in mind that, apart from the ones at the start of the season, their sister team at this point hasn't really been struck by them. It's just it's really just not gone their way. They've just been a bit unlucky. But I don't think you can be, a bit unlucky five races in a row to score no points. So yeah, if anything, it makes the fact that they're above a number of other people a little bit more amazing when you look at the points totals for both drivers. Where they are in the championship, though, obviously does reflect that, and it's an uphill battle from here in. It's sort of the run into the end of the season. I know it's only halfway because of the way the season is, but you know, they don't really share the high straight line speed characteristics that you again need around Spa. You need that, and you need a car you can trust throwing around into high speed corners. I'm not even sure you can do that. Then again, rain is the big leveler, and we haven't had too much of that this year, so we don't really know where things are going to play out once the heavens open. You know, it's I think it's going to be difficult. You know, you've got to assume that everyone's taken as much of a step after the summer break as you have, and you know, I can't see it being anything different to business as usual, really.
Yeah, I don't see them doing too much, to be honest with you, and it's a real concern for them because it's a long run for them without scoring points. So the threat from behind is you know, greater than the chances of them, you know, improving their position. I mean, that Aston Martin in ninth. I mean, they've not scored big points, to be fair, much this season at all. They have scored in six of the last seven races, which for a team in ninth speaks to, you know, solid, if not quite a bit unspectacular at times. But obviously, Sebastian Vettel announces he's going to retire from the sport. But Lance Stroll, he's good in the wet. If it's wet round Spa, then Carl, could we see a decent points finish today? I know you're scrunching your face if you don't know what I'm talking about, but he has had some good performances in the wet, Stroll.
Oh, yes, he has. But it's more, he's had an okay performance and everyone else has spun out. Let's be honest. That's how we've got to that point. You know, he's not done anything spectacular. He's just managed to drive around a wet circuit. And he does that admirably, yeah, that word. But I don't think he's a super wet driver. He's not Lando Norris in the wet. He's not ducking and diving and trying to find those lines. He is going around on the driest line he can find and just getting around safely. And because he's normally so far back and the distance so far away from anyone, he's not going to crash into anyone. So, you know, the chances are he's not going to be, like, he's going to be in the points if it's a wet race, granted, but he's not going to be spectacular and he's not going to do anything spectacular. Vettel, this is the first race since his announcement, isn't it? If I remember correctly, or did I imagine that? So it'd be interesting to see whether he's clocked out and gone home and taken the paycheck, thank you very much, or whether he's planning to go out in a blaze of glory. I'm hoping for the latter, and I'm hoping that he's going to make every effort to get out there and, you know, put his foot down and make something happen, because he is a phenomenal driver, Vettel, but you know, he's not got the car and he's got an idiot as a, you know, as a sidekick. So, you know, what can you say to that, no matter if it is in the rain or not? So, you know, good luck, studio. Have fun, but it's not going to happen. If they get points, it's because everyone else has spun out.
Well, everybody else except for Williams, who sadly this year, unfortunately, even worse still, you know, bottom of the Constructors' Championship. Although saying that, Phil, I think most people would agree, potentially, there's a better vibe around the team maybe this season, but seeing a repeat of the podium they got like here last, going to a Spa last year, it's just not going to happen. I think any kind of points for them is a big stretch, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, last year, George was on his heater and he qualified outside front row when his BFF try to end himself going through Eau Rouge, going for another qualifying lap when he could have probably won the race, thinking about what happened the next day. They do not have it this year. We pontificated about Williams, I think, for a good half an hour. I don't know. I think that's the most that anyone's really talked about. Tom and I did that yesterday, and we spent more time on Williams than I think most people have spent on Williams in the last, 10 years, or at least since 2014 or something, whatever. Feel bad for Albon in the sense that he has done, I think, the best that he can given the circumstances of what the car is and what they're providing him. He's not as good as George, obviously, so that's why it hasn't been as good. But then also their car is just not good. They made this massive upgrade. They said, oh, it's going to get them half a second. And they're just as slow, if not slower, than what they were at the start of the year. So what are these people doing? What do they have at the factory that they can't make the car faster? They're just making the car the same or slower. It's counterintuitive. it's kind of like being like one of those back end teams that was around in like 2010, essentially. I mean, Latifi, God bless him, there's a seat at Juncos Hollander waiting for him in IndyCar next year. I'm sure the drivers will love that Lavazza coffee, or he'll be in IMSA or WEC in a hypercar program because he isn't going to have a job. So there really isn't going to be anything unless a massive, you know, you have like kind of like what Carl was doing to his fellow Canadian compatriot Stroll, unless half the field is like wrecked, like the first lap incident back in like 98. I don't think Williams is really going to score points this weekend or do anything of great significance. The weather does play a greater factor, though. Latifi did make Q3 in a rain-affected qualifying at Silverstone and stayed up in the top 10 for most of the race at Silverstone until the late safety car. And for whatever reason, Williams kept him out, and then he fell out of the point. So who knows? Stranger things have happened.
They have indeed, but I think Latifi for the points is becoming less of a bold prediction and more of an impossibility. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe a real surprises. But if anyone's like to score points for Williams this weekend, it is Alex Albon, who I think is doing his absolute utmost in that car. Obviously, some may argue that it's very easy for him, given that Latifi's his teammate, but you still got to be what's put out in front of you, and he's absolutely wiped the floor of him no end. So we'll see how they get on this weekend. I do want to give a mention as well. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, you can get a shout out at the start of the next show, which is always greatly appreciated. And also give us a 5-star review on Spotify as well. I think we're approaching 100 reviews, or we might have passed 100 reviews recently on Spotify, which is massive. So thank you so much for that, everybody who's done that. It really helps us out in the rankings. But yeah, we've gone through all the 10 teams, all the 20 drivers. So let's get into our predictions now. So I'll start us off. I'll go with a not-so-bold prediction of Max Verstappen to win the race. I just think him and Red Bull are just too good, and Ferrari, even on a good day, even if they get the strategy right, which is a big if, I think even then they won't be quicker. I just don't see it. And I will say that Charles Leclerc will get second. And third place, because he's been on such a good run recently, I'll go for Lewis Hamilton. There's a bit of an aspirational one, but I'll say Lewis Hamilton to get another podium. That'd be his sixth in a row if you manage that by getting third place. Owen, what's your top three prediction?
I can't go with anyone else but Max Verstappen. It makes sense. Yeah. You know, Sergio Perez in second for me. And then I'm going to go with, I don't know, actually. I'm going to go with George Russell in third. That's what I'm going to go with.
Fair enough. I'm going to guess that Carl does not have George Russell on his podium, but let's hear it from the man himself.
Oh, do you know what? I actually do. I think it's going to be an all-British 1-2-3 purely because it's in the wet and who the hell knows. So I think it's Norris, Hamilton, Russell. So I generally think it's going to be an all-British 1-2-3. I just think that, you know, that it's such a mad race. Why not have a mad result? We had it last year. So, you know, and I think it'll be really ironic that Russell still Russell wouldn't be able to get number one even on a rat race, you know, after everything and after his last year's stupid madness. So, look, you know, let's see what happens. But I still think Hamilton will beat his ass, whatever happens.
I knew you couldn't compliment him too much, and he had to get some kind of backhanded insult in there at some point. It had to happen. Just to clarify, you're going for Lando Norris for the win.
Yeah. I mean, let's go honest. It's a wet race. Lando Norris, you know, he's a champion in the wet and goes for it on that track, as we saw last year as he spun out. So I think qualifying is going to be a wet qualifying, and I think it's going to be a rained off qualifying. So it's going to be really interesting because it'll be a Sunday kickbox scramble.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I would say that stranger things have happened. That would be up there. Let's see what happens, though. Bill, what's your top three prediction?
I'll go with Carlos Sainz actually to go and win on Sunday, not Leclerc, not Verstappen. I'll say that Leclerc finishes second and Lewis finishes third. Max has a mechanical issue that knocks him out of the lead. Which he was probably going to end up winning the race easy. That's probably more wishful thinking on my part. And I figure that Max Verstappen's going to win, but whatever. I'll just try to put it in the ether and hope that Ferrari can actually make it interesting.
I would hope so from a championship perspective. It would be like nice to see Ferrari do well. I just personally don't see it, but who knows? Stranger things have happened. So we'll see how that goes. Now, For my bold prediction, I'm going to go with a bit unusual one here. I'm going to say, just because he's leaving the sport, there's no pressure on him, potentially a wet race. He does do some very good strategy calls with the team. I'm gonna say Sebastian Vettel. I'm gonna say Vettel for a top six to match his best, at least match his best result this season for the Aston Martin team, which would be huge for them if they managed to do that. That would really close the gap between them and AlphaTauri. Owen, what's your call for ball prediction?
I just want to say good strategy calls in the wet. Did you see Turkey last year?
Well, not necessarily the wet. I mean, just this season, some of the calls they made, they did work well for them at Baku and stuff like that. So, right, and to be fair, they got a good result in Imola as well. That was a wet race. Double points finish, I think. Or was it double points? Yeah, it was double points.
Still.
I'm not, it's a bold prediction for a reason. It's not likely.
I didn't have an issue with the prediction. I just had an issue with the justification. I'm going to go with Fernando Alonso for a podium.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
It doesn't put it in your top three, but does that? Okay.
He's edging his bets. They all do this.
I never subscribe to. I never make them have to align with each other. I'm well known for this.
Yes, to be fair, yeah. But if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, you can find us at Formula One Grid Talk. So yeah, just search for F1 Grid Talk and you find us. So I have to shoehorn that in somewhere. Carl, what's your bold prediction? Or do I even need to ask given the podium that you said?
Ferrari won't screw up their strategy. I mean, that's almost impossible. It will of course happen, but you know.
Latifi gets points. Ferrari don't mess up the strategy. Oh, they're equally likely.
You bet. You know, it's a bold prediction.
You can tell that some of us have gone a bit stir crazy for because of no Formula One for nearly a month.
That's what MotoGP the other week.
Desperate times, mate. Desperate times.
Ugh. No offense to anybody who watches MotoGP as well as Formula One. Phil, you are one of those people. So, what's your podium predictions?
Well, we don't get it live anymore around here. So, I only get to see the highlights. And Quattararo. Still going to win the world championship anyway. I'm going to go and say Mick Schumacher qualifies and finishes in the top six.
I like it. He's on a real upturn in form, and Spa is the kind of track where you could, you know, really pull out a surprise result. So, yeah, those are our predictions and our bold predictions as well. I'm going to give you guys a chance to plug your outlets as well. So, Carl, I've mentioned that you're part of the Monkey Seat podcast. It's a great show, but where is that and where could... What is that and where can people find it?
So it's a very sweary, no bars held podcast with myself and fellow Grid Talk host Tom Horrocks. And we swear a lot and muck about and talk about Formula One quite a bit in silly ways. It's at Monkey Seat Pod on all the socials and Monkey Seat Podcast. Monkey Seat Motorsport podcast, I think it is, on all your podcasting platforms, and you're sure to find us there. And we've got one coming up, I think, next week or this week.
Fair enough. Some may describe it as a British version of the GSP, Phil. Would you agree with that?
I would say so. It's kind of it's unfiltered, it's uncensored, it goes off the rails plenty. I will give Carl and Tom credit. They do keep it much tighter than Josh and I do. They try to get it within a reasonable time for consumption. Our show, the Grip Strip Podcast, is more for the working person that wants something to listen to during a boring Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, perhaps. You want to get through your case of the Mondays. The Gripster podcast is for you. We cover all things motorsports. We cover Formula One. We cover IndyCar, NASCAR. We cover MotoGP. We're getting into the NFL season since it's coming up here shortly. Get a little bit of Premier League since my team has 7 points, so I'm happy about it. I have to celebrate now because it isn't going to last. But the fact of the matter is, we will talk about all kinds of things on there. We're on all platforms, essentially, where you can find podcasts. And you can find me at Philip G. Matthew. You can find us at Grip Strip Pod on Twitter, Philip G. Matthew on Twitter, and my co-host JP Huffine on Twitter. And as always, thanks, George, for having me on. And it's great to hang out with everybody and just shoot the breeze talking about Formula One. It's nice to have F1 back again. It kind of gets weird, you know, during the summer break. You don't really have it, just you don't know what you're supposed to do with your Sunday mornings. So now I know what to do with my Sunday mornings, at least for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I have to spend time with family and friends and stuff instead. It's just, oh, it's so weird.
Human definitely... interaction, what's that about?
God, that's so 2019, guys, honestly. yeah, definitely check out the GSP as well. I've been on that show a few times. And, you know, I'm so happy that the show with two of Grid Talk's cult heroes, obviously Phil and Tom Downey, that show's finally happened now. When will it be out, Phil? Is it out already or...?
I'm working on it. I'll try to get it out here later this week. I'm going to send the files over to Tom to see what he wants to do in regards to distributing it on EF1, but we'll also distribute it on the Grip Strip side. Uncensored view of, I guess, 4th through 10th in the constructors with a little bit of talk about Ferrari, but then Tom had to go home, so he cut it off. So that's all on Tom.
I'm sure it's a great show regardless. Owen, I've mentioned that you're one of the co-hosts here on the Grid Talk podcast. But is there anything else you want to plug?
I don't think I can reasonably plug anything that I've written recently. So I'm now just going to use this time to mourn the fact that I didn't get to use Manchester United as an allegory for Aston Martin. You know, previously very, very successful. And then in recent years, with the advent of big money, has created a toxic culture that's left them the bottom of the table. There we go. That's it. That's all I've got. Worse than a Formula Two team. That's what I'd say. That's all I wanted to do, I'll be honest. I was waiting for it and I never got a chance to do it. But as a United fan, I had to do it.
Yeah, and in 10 minutes, as we're recording this, Manchester United are going to kick off against Liverpool, which I think a lot of people get entertainment out of, but let's see what happens. I would
when
say stranger things
off,
happen.
Do you mean stage a massive protest?
That's also what's going to happen. Yeah, there could be a mass walkout after about 30 minutes. But anyway, that's enough talk about football. So yeah, if you want to check out our show as well, obviously we do normally go out live on our YouTube channel. We're doing that this weekend for the qualifying and the race show about an hour after it comes out. So after the session finishes, I should say. Just search for Grid Talk on YouTube for that. You can also like us on Facebook. You can go to our website, f1chronicle.com. You can get all the shows there. You can also follow us on Twitter, at F1Chronicle, and we're also available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, Pocket Cast, and the F1 Chronicle website, all of them on there. So, yeah, I want to thank my panelists for coming on this Monday evening. Thank you very much. And, we're back on Saturday to analyse qualifying for the Belgian Grand Prix. Catch us on YouTube for that. Thank you very much for listening and watching. Goodbye.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.